Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to episode 571 of the Drunk Dusters Podcast. I'm, as always, I'm Tyler, and joining me, we have the man, the myth, the legend himself, Sir Colonel Gables. What is up, buddy?
Oh, man. This week has been really crazy for everything else other than, like, the usual shit. But at the same time, man, it's like, I've been busy, lots of work stuff, lots of wrestling news, all the various craziness upon that. But other than that, though, I'm doing pretty good, Tyler. How are you doing?
Had better weeks, Gables. This is going to be the sober nerds today. I was telling you before the show. You already know all the details, all the disgusting details. I had a heat stroke on Wednesday at work. Work finished today. Work Thursday like an idiot. And I had a call on Friday. So I have not ate solid food since Tuesday. I've been chugging water and Pedialyte for a few days now. So today I have a water bottle, and my mom was nice enough to bring me over some Starry because they didn't have Sprite. So I'm drinking. Some carbonated, and it's not water and Pedialyte because I found out you can drink too much Pedialyte and it also can upset your stomach. So I'm like, great, I didn't know that. So trying to bounce stuff out, eating a lot of soup. I've eaten, like, it's just been literally toast and soup for day four. So it's Saturday, August 26th as of this recording. So hopefully tomorrow I can eat something solid, and or at least by
yourself.
What? Oh my god, dude. I would do terrible things to just eat a Totino's pizza. Like, that's how desperate I am right now for something like solid. Because let me tell you, chicken noodle soup and saltine crackers are not hitting the spot right now. I'm about the same, Gables. Otherwise, you know, I'm getting pretty excited though. We are getting close to like football. You know, I got the Hawkeye stuff on for YouTube watchers. Next week is the beginning of that. Also, Gables, like, the shit has hit the fan for video games right now. Armored Core is out now. Got Starfield next week. Sea of Stars coming out next week as well. Bomb Rush Cyberpunk is out. So many like big games and like indie games. It's just so many games coming out right now. It's insane. We've been talking about that a lot, but it started. It's here. Immortals of Avium came out. I did buy that. So I'm gonna play it much though. You know, I've been home the last couple of days. It's been difficult to just, like, be able to sit there and play games. Doing all right. You know, it's been a depressing week. We lost Terry Funk. We lost Bray Wyatt. Terry Funk, 79 years old, lives a long, crazy life, professional wrestler. Bray Wyatt, sadly, he was only 36. He's gone, just a couple years older than us. Sadly passed away of a heart attack on Thursday. And then Bob Barker today. So it's been a pretty crazy week for celebrity deaths. Anyways, let's try to get this positive, Gable. This is the video game podcast. Normally we're in a much better mood, but it's been a pretty grim week. It's been hot as hell. We've had some good video game news come out this week, and so we'll try to spend some positives. This is the Drunk Dashers podcast. Every week, Gables and I get together and we talk about video games and the things we love about them mostly. If you like all this, you like the show, enjoying all that, please like, follow, subscribe if you're on YouTube. If you are anywhere else, subscribe, 5-star reviews, leave a comment. Look down in the description down below. There are links to everything that we're on for the most part, Spotify, Apple, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, Twitch. If you are on any of those places, please subscribe. Even if you don't go to those places, but you have, you're not a big YouTube watcher, but you have YouTube, just go there, subscribe to us. Let's give us a subscription. I'd like to see that number go up a little bit. We got over 100 finally, and the number's going up, and we're on to the road to 1,000. That's kind of the goal there. Then when you get to 1,000, you can actually start making some money. So that'd be great. So if we get to that point, we can start making 7 cents a video, like everybody else is.
There you go.
Shit adds up, Gables. In like 10 years, we could buy like a Big Mac. So if we can keep up with inflation, other than that, Let's just get into the goddamn video games, Gables. We had Opening Night Live this week, Gables. It's pretty exciting. So we had the Jeff Keighley show. Gamescom start was all week. We had some stuff come out. Not as much as I thought would come out of it. Like, I thought we'd get some more news throughout. Because, like, so Gamescom Opening Night Live was on Tuesday. But then, like, Gamescom, the event itself, was Wednesday through Saturday. And I thought we'd, like, get a bunch of gameplay for stuff. We got some. We got some trailers. We got, like, 8-minute, like, gameplay sections of, like, games and, like, some more, like, deeper dives and stuff like that. But as far as, like, big stuff, like, I thought we'd get some more dates. I thought, like Nintendo, like, made a big deal about the fact they're coming back for the first time in 4 years. And I looked around and I didn't see a fucking thing from them at all. I'm guessing they just had a booth there, but I didn't see one, like, at least from, like, on Twitter or just, like, on YouTube. I didn't see, like, anybody, like, usually, like, I've seen people, like, here's the Xbox booth, here's, you know, this person's booth, here's this booth. I didn't see anything from Nintendo. I thought maybe, like, there'd be, like, some new trailers or something from them, from, like, some other games coming out here soon, but we got nothing. But we did get Jeff Keighley's Opening It Live. We talked about this last week. I think you and I went in pretty low expectations. Like, we thought we'd get some good stuff out of it, but not a lot. Like, Jeff Keighley even came out and said a couple weeks ago, like, this is going to be mostly updates on games you already know about for the rest of the year. So don't expect a bunch of new stuff. And I mean, all props to him, cause yeah, it's basically what it was. Kind of started off, it went over a little over 2 hours. We don't talk about everything. We can just kind of run through something. Like, a lot of the stuff is updates. So we had Starfield start off. They actually had the guy that does the music for the game. He did, like, played it on the piano, and there was, like, a live action trailer. No new gameplay there, but just a cool little way to start off. Todd Howard came out and talked about the game coming up and stuff like that, but nothing too much more out of it. You know, kind of just hyping up the game. Hey, it's coming out next week. Get excited. Reviews drop Thursday. Then we also had a couple people jumped up on the stage again asked for GTA 6. Apparently these guys are, like, going all over, like jumping on, like, television sets, like, and, like, on newscasts, shit like that, and they've been doing it multiple times. But hopefully this doesn't happen again. I don't want this to be a trend.
Yeah.
Like, the first time was kind of funny, you know, but... I don't know, Game Awards, it was kind of funny, but also, like, but, like, this time was, like, two guys got up there, and they were up there for, like, a really long time. And, like, luckily nothing happened. I thought Jeff Keighley, like, he was obviously pretty pissed, and I don't blame him. But I think he handled it about as professionally as he could. Because I think some other people probably would have, like, fucking put him in a goddamn German suplex. Gables would have suplexed him to the Royal Borealis, for sure. Which I would actually love. Gables, we should have you be security at Game Awards.
Oh, that's funny. That's actually funny you should mention that, because I'm actually kind of the security of my work.
Well, there you go. Yeah, that's right. You told me the story about you chased that guy down, trying to, and, like, you know, like, I would love that. Like, man, Jeff Keighley, like, he's not too far away. It's probably a cheap flight to the LA in December.
Be Jeff Keighley's bodyguard.
Yeah, like,
for an award.
Just make sure I get my 5% founder fee. For whatever you pay Gables, I get 5%. I just want that little fucking dweeb kid come out and, like, try to go on stage again. I see Gables fucking put him in a fucking chokehold.
Put him in, like, a freaking coquina clutch.
Fucking put him in a dragon suplex him. That'd be awesome. I honestly, like, if that happened to somebody, like, I don't want, like, to die or serious injury, but if that happened to him, I think that would probably scare off some fucking people from doing it again. If there's some guy tries to rush the stage and just get knocked the fuck out. Like, you have Mike Tyson. Dude, just put Mike Tyson on stage. Just put him in the corner the whole fucking time. I don't care if he's, like, 6 years old. That motherfucker will still knock your ass out. That'd be awesome.
Hey, what are you doing on the stage, man? We're going to go. Yeah. You gotta go with the Jeff Keighley to what, don't they? We're gonna go.
Yeah, he just come up on the, like, before Jeff Keighley comes out, like, before he introduces him, he's like, if anybody walks on stage, I'll eat your children. Like, that'd be fucking awesome. It's like his two lines.
The sit down kid, what you
do. Oh, man.
I love Mike Tyson, though. I mean, the guy.
He's,
guy's fun,
He's a
but
national treasure.
at the same time, having Mike Tyson or something like as a bodyguard instead of Jeff Keighley doing his little award show, they know it makes so much sense. I mean, I could just envision him just standing on stage right next to him, all of a sudden, like that little come, like that little occurrence or something like that just pops up to the freaking thing. It's like, okay, you gotta get out of here. You gotta get out of here. Yeah.
Yeah,
Boom!
I don't even want to give him
You
a.
see the kid just
I don't
go
even want to give him a
flying.
warning. I just want him to fucking punch somebody, knock him out, like one swing. That would be awesome. That would.
That would be so meme worthy, and they would have been cycling through the internet for so long. It's like, ew, look at this dude get his
Yeah,
comeuppance here.
but unfortunately though, for us, it'd be like Reggie walking up the stage, and he like does he doesn't doesn't know it's Reggie, and fucking just knocks out Reggie. Like that would be like, it's like, oh no, not Reggie.
He got it.
He's still mad about he's still mad at Nintendo for taking him out of Mike Tyson's Punch Out all these years later. I just love this idea. I want it, like I know it's
Oh
never
my
gonna
God,
happen.
with my royalties.
Yeah.
It's like it goes out with my
Yeah, where's my
royalties.
royalties? Yeah. I had to give away I had to give back one of my tigers. Oh man, I love this idea. But moving on here. Listen, man. I just really want that to happen now. Anyway, not Reggie get knocked out, but just Mike Tyson at the Game Awards. Jeff Keighley, if you're watching, once again, if you hire Mike Tyson, we want our 5% founders fee. For just for the idea. Idea fee? Is that a thing? Whatever. Just give us 5%. No, just subscribe to the podcast. Anyways, next up here we have Little Nightmares 3 is getting well, it's obviously getting a third one. It's coming in 2024. This one it's like kind of teasing possibly in co-op, which I remember the second game, like there was a second person with you, but I don't think it was ever co-op. I only played the first couple hours. I loved the first game. I played the second game. I just didn't click for me as for some reason, but I played a couple hours of it. The thing about this one though is this one's being made by Supermassive Games, which I can't remember the name of the first studio, but they announced 2 years ago that they were done with the franchise, but Bandai Namco owns the IP. What's interesting though is a little Supermassive Games, who does like the Dark Pictures anthology, that The Quarry, Until Dawn, stuff like that. Totally different game than they're used to making, I thought, until someone pointed out that they actually helped like they were like a support studio on the second game, and they actually did the next gen port of Little Nightmares 2 to the PS5 and Xbox Series consoles. So they do have some knowledge of this. And they also announced there's going to be a 6-episode podcast series that's going to be inside the universe called The Sounds of Nightmares. I don't know if they said that when it's coming. The first two are out now, but I don't know when the next four are coming. But I don't, have you ever played the Little Nightmare games? I don't know if these are like something for you.
I've never played any of the Little Nightmare games. I've heard they're good games. I've know people that are really into them and stuff because of the horror elements and stuff of the set properties and stuff. But no, they've just been like games I it's been one of those type of games and stuff where I don't really generally like playing a lot of horror themed games all too often. I mean, hell, what was it? Games like Dead by Daylight and like Outlast and stuff, those were the exceptions because at least I was able to get into those things because friends introduced me to that stuff and I end up liking both those things to an extent. But it's like it Little Nightmares 3. I mean, I'm glad for people that were fans of the series. I mean, hey, it's going to be more of the stuff that you like, plus there's going to be some elements that look fairly radically different than like the past previous entries, it looks
Yeah,
like.
and it's nice to like, it's a studio and Supermassive that does deal with horror. I mean, it's a different style of game that they're, like I said, they're like typically used to making. So see how that works, but it seems like the style is there. Just a matter of if the gameplay is, as good, because like I said, this is they deal with like Until Dawn. That's like I think all they've ever worked on in like VR games. It's crazy how much like this team has pumped out in the last like year and a half. Like they put out two Dark Pictures anthology games, they put out a Quarry, they put out a VR game, and then so in 2 years they're gonna put all those out, and then Little Nightmares. Interestingly enough though, we still do not have they never said anything about Dark Pictures. They usually have one every year for Dark Pictures anthology, and they teased a space one at the end of, they always tease the next one at the end of their games, and they teased one in space, and usually they come out in October. We haven't heard anything about like whether they're getting delayed or not. So I'm curious. I'm assuming that we're just at this point, we're not getting one, which is fine. There's enough stuff coming out this year, but especially because that last one usually always came out like right before Halloween. The last one came out at the end of November, like same day as Pokemon. So it was like mid-November.
Oh, wow.
And I remember it came out and it just had a lot of bugs. So I ended up just waiting until like January to play it. And it was really good. I liked it a lot, but I wonder if maybe like they're just, you know, let's take a year off and just get stuff in place again. So, but anyways, Black Myth, Yu Wukong got a, another trailer here. First time we've like finally starting to see some like real gameplay out of this stuff. Like we've seen a lot of like, teasers and stuff like that over the last couple of years. And it's like one of the first like Unreal Engine 5 games that we've seen. And it's been absolutely impressive. This is the first time we've actually like really seen some like gameplay that wasn't just like snippets here and there. And yeah, this game looks amazing. Like, I don't know if it's gonna be a game that like I love. I believe it's a Game Pass Day One game too. But it's like very much a Souls-like. It is like part of like the what's that fucking Journey to the West? I believe is that the story.
Yes, it's the whole theme of Journey to the West. You know, Son Goku going from, like all over like his quest to go to the, like going from like I think it's like Japan and stuff all the way to like. West in like in terms of America or some shit like that. I'm not sure.
I only know it from the one who made that game? The one on the 360 game.
Oh yes, I know which one you're talking about. It's Enslaved.
Yeah, Enslaved. Journey. That's what it was. That's the only thing I know which I know is like Odyssey to the West. Who made that game? That's bugging me now.
Yeah.
I'm gonna look it up real fast. Sorry. Ninja Theory.
I think it's Namco.
Okay.
Ninja Theory.
But no, this game looks beautiful. The enemies look awesome. It definitely it looks like could be a really good Souls like. But we've seen this in the past where we see some games that look like really great. Like they have the art style, the enemies are there. It looks beautiful. Looks like the game will be great. And then it comes out and it's kind of like it's fine. It's mediocre. But at the very least, this game has a very impressive style. I'm at least I believe it is a Game Pass game. And if that is, I'm definitely going to be in on that game day one. But kind of Gables, like, what do we think on this one?
I thought the gameplay looked absolutely fantastic, dude. I mean, the attention to scenery stuff, I had totally spaced that this was one of the first, like, truly real, like, Unreal Engine 5 games and stuff. But everything that I've seen so far, from the intricate details, from the bosses themselves, through the whole atmosphere of what Black Myth Wukong is supposed to represent and stuff, I'm liking this stuff. I mean, I am definitely liking what's going on here. There's this one point and stuff where you're fighting off like this boss or something like that, and all of a sudden you have this pink snake that's like going to the grass, and all of a sudden transforms into a woman, but the top portion of her neck are like a fucking cobra, and it's like, oh shit, dude. It is getting so realistic to the point now where it just looks absolutely creepy when you see something like that just pop up onto your screen, or even some of the bosses themselves, like that one kind of like centipede looking monster that you're going through and fighting and stuff. You gotta be hyper quick and stuff because it's just slithering around and stuff like that inside of an underground type of environment, like a dark cave or some shit. And it looks like that they've made some fine progress on this game. We still don't have a window about when we're going to be expecting this
summer.
Game's release.
So,
summer.
We'll see.
Well, that's more than what I initially thought, you know, because when I saw that gameplay trailer that they went through and released, they didn't make any mention of, like, summer.
I think it was elsewhere. I know it's 20... I know. I'll double check it. But...
But yeah, everything I've seen so far about this game just looks fantastic, and quite honestly, this gameplay solidifies the fact that this is definitely going to be a must-play game.
Yeah. So no, it looks like it just says 2024.
Yeah. So it could be one of those games where it says 2024, they're probably going to slip it into 2025.
I mean, this was like I remember like we did our Fantasy Critic draft last in January, and you drafted it, and then literally the next like 3 days later they delayed it to next year. So that's saying something in January, you're already delaying a game to the next year. So, So we'll have to wait and see. But I don't know, it's the first time we got some like real gameplay, so definitely blew. I think it was one of the big things that came out of this event. So next up here though, we got Killing Floor 3 was announced, just a CG trailer. Maybe like 5 seconds of gameplay. It looked really impressive, looks gorgeous. I don't know too much about these games. I know it's got a pretty it's like a zombie survival like a horde mode type of game. I know it's got a pretty sizable audience behind it. It's one of those things where it's like they're getting a third one of these, really, but it's like, well, then you find out there's actually like a pretty big audience behind it. It's the way video games are right now, especially multiplayer games, audiences are so splintered off. It's like it's just like, oh, it's like that's just like some nothing multiplayer game. I know there's like 100,000 people that play that thing like religiously, so good for those people that they're getting that. I thought it looks gorgeous. That looked really cool. Just not something I'm ever gonna get into. What about you?
Okay, in regards to that, probably not so much for me. I mean, granted this game's probably not going to be too far off of like going through and release and stuff like that, but nah. By the time that thing releases, I'm probably going to be more focused upon what else is coming out during that time.
There was no release date or anything, so we have no. It could be 2025 for all we know. Next up here, though, we got Age of Empire 4 is out now on Xbox with Game Pass. This was kind of like heavily like we knew this was coming. It was just a matter, and then there's been heavily rumored that it was going to get a shadow drop today, and it did. I know there's a lot of people are excited for it. These are not my things, but I know I've seen a lot of people that were really pumped when this happened. So I don't got too much to add on. Gables, anything for you?
No, not really.
next up here, we got Rebel Moon. Oh, excuse me. Carbonation from the starry there. Oh, my God. First time I've had like anything carbonated in a long time. I don't drink soda. So anyways, Rebel Moon, it's the Zack Snyder film. Apparently, it might be getting a game as well. It's a big Netflix movie. Apparently it's coming out in two parts. The first part comes in December. Second part, I believe, was in April. It's like a 3 minute long trailer. It just looks like a giant showpiece, of like, look how beautiful this movie looks, like a lot of CGI stuff. Like it looks like CGI wise, like there's definitely a lot of money behind this thing. I have no idea what the fuck was happening. Like, I don't know what's going on here. I'm not a Zack Snyder guy, to be honest with you. The Snyder Cut Justice League was the first Snyder movie that I watched and actually liked. I didn't like 300. So I don't know if I'm gonna like that. I'll give it a shot probably when it comes out in December. It's like, it's December. What the fuck else we're doing? It's cold outside and it's Christmas. Yeah, like I don't know. This didn't really do anything for me. What about you, Gables?
Honestly, with the Rebel Moon stuff, I'm on the same boat and stuff. I don't really watch too much of like Zack Snyder stuff, but at the same time, you know, it's like it didn't really interest me, the source material and stuff. This is actually the part of the thing where while I was watching some bit of like the Gamescom stuff, I started to drift off and stuff and fast forward and try to do this other stuff because the core concept of it, you know, I wasn't too interested
in. Yeah, it's like I appreciate, like, you know, like when I don't want that with for everything, but like I do like when like they have people come on and they talk about their stuff, you know, give a little more detail on stuff, especially like when it's newer things they're introducing. It's like, what the fuck is this? Or like you have a Todd Howard, like definitely like, okay, or Phil Spencer, like, yeah, fucking bring him on. Like that's big. That's smart to do that. But one of the things was like, I don't know. I guess it's Zack Snyder. He's a name. This is going to bring out more people to your thing than would otherwise. So I get it. But it was definitely a lot of those in here where I'm like, I don't need to hear this person talk about this game. You know, it's like, and they're going on for so long, and it's obviously like canned questions with canned answers. Gable, something that did blow me away that I gave zero fucks about for like the first like minute of this fucking trailer. Crimson Desert. Came out and blew me away. Apparently it's like it's based off of a very popular like MMO or something, and I'm like, oh, okay, when I realized what, okay, I'm like, I don't really care about this. And then it's actually like a single player like open world looking game, and it was like every like 5 fucking seconds there was some mind-blowing game mechanic He's pole vaulting over fucking walls. He runs to the edge of a cliff on his horse. Like, he's riding on a horse, and he like runs to the cliff, the edge of the cliff, and then leaps off. And then like he bursts into fucking crows. There's like ultra hand mechanics in this fucking game. It's gorgeous. There are Skylands everywhere. Like, he's like in fucking Tears of the Kingdom. Like, he at one point jumps off of the sky, out of the sky, one of the sky islands, and he's like doing the Zelda like fall to like the ground.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, holy shit. Like, what? And this isn't like something that was just made in the last like 6 months when we learned about all this stuff from Zelda. Like, this stuff was in development concurrently
at the same
with
time.
This. So it's like, it's not like this, like, I heard seeing a lot of people, oh, this is the first of many knockoffs. I'm like, motherfucker, they were making this the same goddamn time. I keep looking at this game. I watched this trailer like 5 times because it keeps blowing me away. I'm like, I keep watching it, but I'm like, there's so many fucking crazy things happening in this trailer that I'm missing other crazy things that are happening in the trailer. So I had to keep rewatching it. And this whole time, I'm like, what's the fucking catch? There's got to be a catch here. Like, something's got to be bad about this. Like, it's, tell me, like, I'm going to find, there's going to be something. This game's going to come out, and like, this game can't be like, if it, this is everything we think it's going to be, this is one of the greatest games of all time. But I'm like, all right, something in this game isn't come out. It's going to be like a fucking 7.2 out of 10. And I don't know what it is yet. But I don't trust it. It's too good to be true.
Oh, no.
This is my game of the show, though. What about you, Gables?
Well, to be perfectly honest with you, though, I didn't really watch too much of like the Gamescom stuff, but I'm gonna take your word for it in terms of like that game itself. I just need to rewatch some bit of the game stuff, Gamescom stuff still and stuff, because dude, after work, I've been so dead tired.
Yeah. yeah, but it was awesome. This is your homework for you, Gables. You gotta watch that one.
Okay.
Next up, though, Payday 3. Is getting a heist featuring Ice-T. So that's coming. Coming September 21st, coming to Game Pass, everything, like all the other consoles. So one of those things, like what we were talking about with the Killing Floor, there's an audience behind these things. And it's smart putting this on Game Pass. I think it's gonna be good for the audience. And everything I know, like, people talking about this is like, some of those things, it's gonna be cool, but then like all the people that play hardcore Payday are gonna like find all the tricks in like a week. It's going to be probably unplayable for anybody. So,
Yeah.
So, but I don't know. I mean, whatever. I mean, that game looks like fun, but yeah, it's definitely like, you gotta have like people play with regularly, and, you're going to probably bump into a lot of regulars, and they're going to wreck your world. So,
yep.
Seven yeah, games. But it's cool that you don't have an Ice-T in there. So that's smart. Good, you know, like, it'd be cool. Like, just jump in and do that one at least. Next up here though, Assassin's Creed Mirage. We got another trailer for that one. Just another trailer, nothing too much more exciting here. I did like the fact that the entire trailer was in Arabic, and there was like subtitles at the bottom. That was kind of cool little touch there. But it's October 5th, a reminder that's coming. Next up here, though, Tekken 8 is coming January 26th. Gables, I know it's got you excited. Trailer here, like, got a bunch of gameplay, got some stuff here. Like, there's an arcade you can walk around in, and it has the your fucking 360 avatar, Xbox 360 avatars making a comeback in this arcade. So I hope that really are the avatars, because if I can walk around with my avatar in my Metal Gear Solid suit, with my Mass Effect Normandy flying around me in this arcade, I'm all in. I'll buy this game day one. How you feeling, Lil Gibbles? You're the fighting game guy. What'd you think?
I love the initial trailer for like Tekken 8 and stuff, where they just went into details, not just of the characters that are currently there, but also revealing a few other characters they hadn't seen before, like, say, Leo, and also like Yoshimitsu, seeing that in the trailers and stuff. But what was interesting about this is that they showcased like that single player sort of like arcade sort of like mode or something, where this is basically them kind of going similarly to, say, Street Fighter 6 in terms of their kind of hub world that they got going with like the world tour and all this other shit. But the biggest surprise coming out of there was the release date being January 26th. I mean, I honestly thought that they were trying to aim still for like something later and stuff, but I guess because of all the feedback they've gotten from like the other beta tests and all the other stuff, that early January, they feel comfortable releasing it. And man, I can't wait to try this game out, because this looks fun as hell.
Looks awesome. I'm not the fighting game guy, but like I said, if I can use my 360 avatar, I'm all in. I will pay. I'll buy the premium edition. I don't care. Next up here, though, we got Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3. We got the first time we're seeing gameplay for this one. I believe it was the they said it's the first trailer, or the first campaign of the game that we got to see here. It was 12 minutes of gameplay. Well, so they had like people come out and they like that work on the game and talk about like a lot of like the big changes coming to this one. Talking about like the that's more the missions are more like open, not maybe more open area. More you have more just choices you can make. It's not just a that corridor shooter like walking down a hallway and stuff like that. And I'm like, okay, like they've been kind of pushing that the last week or so, and then they just showed a run-of-the-mill Call of Duty trailer. Like it's a night, you have night vision on, and you're just going around like it looks like a prison or like a castle kind of situation here. I mean, it looks gorgeous. Don't get me wrong. It's like it's definitely just another showpiece of like, hey, this is like look at like how beautiful this game looks. Look how wet everything is because you're in the rain. It's dark and you're in the rain. And like I said, it looks good, looks impressive, but it's like just looks like the 2023 version of Call of Duty. But I'm not trying to talk shit. It's just what it looked like to me. Like I think a lot of people probably were kind of disappointed because like I think a lot of us wanted to see like you've been talking about this new these changes you're making to the campaign, and then you just didn't show them. Kind of weird. I don't know. I mean, like people that are in are already in, and I don't know how many more people are gonna get like too excited about this thing. But they have a few more months till this game's out. Not even like 2.5 more months. So I'm sure they'll start getting crazy with the advertising here soon. But I'm ex excuse me. I am excited to see like kind of what they mean by that because almost sounds too good to be true with kind of the open area kind of stuff. But I don't know, Gables. I know you're not the Call of Duty guy either, but film like this one got you more intrigued than past years.
No, not really. Honestly,
No.
no, not really. I mean, I'm at the point with Call of Duty where it's like the only time I'll ever go back and place like anything Call of Duty related is if there's something that really is a good hook for me, either the campaign stuff or some of the DLC that looks like it's going to be relatively interesting. What I'm mostly referring to is like the whole Black
Yeah,
Ops
they just remake
add-on
Black
stuff,
Ops. I'm in.
the original Black Ops and stuff with the freaking like DLC with the presidents and stuff like that and George
Yeah.
Romero, all that stuff. That stuff, those zombie horde mode things like that with
Yeah.
those modes were the reason why I
Yeah,
kept coming back to
JFK killing
play Black
zombies.
Ops after.
Yeah.
Even after I went through and like played a good amount of Zork inside that game's menu, and even though I like went through that campaign, I really liked the aspect of that
Yeah.
campaign. But yeah, when I look at this current Call of Duty thing that's coming out, it's like I'm not really hearing too much buzz about it. I mean, they just went through and, announced and stuff, but hardly anybody's actually even talking about
Yeah,
it.
I mean, well, I'm sure we'll hear more as like we get closer. And they said there's a beta in October. I think it's October 5th, I think is when they say it starts. So I'm sure we'll hear more then. But yeah, I don't know. I want to see it because, but I think I finally hit that wall. I was somebody that just played the campaigns up. I bought Modern Warfare 2 earlier this year and I played it like a couple hours and I was just like, I love the big explosions and stuff like that. I'm a sucker for that. Like, I just want that Michael Bay, big explosions. I just want to not take the story seriously and just blow some shit up and it just didn't click for me like it used to. So, no, I think I'm just kind of over these type of games. But, anyways, moving on here though, we had Nightingale finally get a release date or a Sorry, early access date. I believe it's February 22nd was that date. We've seen this a few times before. It's like it's a fantasy survival game. So I don't know. Looks, I think it's gonna come out. It's gonna have an audience at first, but I'm not too. I don't think there's gonna be. It's gonna be a game that comes out and we're gonna forget about. Next up here, we got Granblue Fantasy Relink. Very anime game. Definitely not for me. That is coming out February 1st, 2024. I've heard about Granblue for like feels like decades now, and I still have no fucking clue what it is. It's just one of those things I think I'll just never know. Does Granblue do anything for you, Gables?
Let's see, the RPG aspect of it does seem kind of intriguing and stuff. I mean, Granblue Fantasy Versus, just Granblue in general, did begin life as a fighting game series and stuff, but that's also based upon some sort of like animated show, if I'm not mistaken. But
Sweeps.
yeah, there's supposed to be the RPG portion of it that's supposed to be coming out relatively soon in the next
Yep,
year or
February 1st.
so. But well, yeah, a lot of the animation stuff, a lot of the things that I saw from that initial trailer did look pretty fun.
Immortals of Avium, got another trailer for that. It was like it came out the same day opening it live, so kind of like Assassin's Creed Mirage. Hey, it's out, so check it out. Next up here we had Zenless Zone Zero. You play as like a wolf man, and I don't know, kind of gave me like Persona looking vibes. It's an ARPG. People from the people at from that did like the Genshin Impact games and Honkai Star Rail as well, I believe.
Yeah, the Honkai's.
Yeah,
Yeah.
so I don't know, look kind of cool. I like the style of it. It's just definitely, I don't think it's gonna be a game I ever actually play. But I definitely like looking at it. So there's that. I don't know, give us this. You like weeb shit? Tell me about this shit.
To be perfectly honest with you, I was so kind of bored by what I saw and stuff, I just decided to skip it.
Well, there you go. If the weeb guy doesn't like it, then I'm fucked. Because I thought I looked kind of cool. And they were gonna play it. But I thought it looked kind of cool. Speaking of Honkai Star Rail, am I close at all?
Honkai,
Honkai, okay. I feel like I'm just putting too much emphasis on the K, and I don't like it. Is getting a technical test on the PS5 soon. We got another trailer for that one. So yeah, so it's kind of they are like you can sign up for like to be a part of the technical test now, but no idea when it's actually coming. So there's that. There is a Genshin Impact concert series starting next year. They're doing a tour. The bunch of different towns here. They got like Boston, Los Angeles, Chicago, New York, London, stuff like that. A lot of other towns like South Korea and Japan as well. But there's that. That game is fucking huge. Brings in like $1 billion a year. So smart to do that. So, next up, Lords of the Fallen got a new story trailer. No gameplay or anything like that, but it's probably one of the closest like games to like not that's not obviously nothing's on the level of like a Souls like what From Software does, but probably one of the like the first Lords of the Fallen game. Gables, you know what the name of the first Lords of the Fallen game is? Lords of the
No.
Fallen. You know what the sequel of Lords of the Fallen is? Lords of the Fallen. That's you're right. We are getting we're getting that. It's coming October 13th. We sure need the date for it, but we got a story trailer for that one, which I don't know. It's just it was a story trailer. Didn't there was no gameplay. It's a trailer. It's like dudes fighting. I don't think anybody cares about the story in these games. So I don't know. It's whatever. Gables is it's the year of our Lord 2023. And Sonic Superstars is about to get destroyed by Mario again because it's coming out October 17th. Why do they do this?
I
Why?
have no clue why you would put a Sonic game against a Mario game throughout that same timeline. I mean,
3 days apart.
3 days apart. I understand that this game does look fun for what it is and stuff like that, but the pacing of where they're putting it at, it's not going to be acknowledged. It's not going to be entirely successful because there's a fucking Mario game a couple days between the release of that Sonic game. And I'll tell you what, man, I mean, I like Sonic games to a certain extent, but yet Super Mario Wonder does look like the better option in this case.
Yeah, I'm not a Sonic guy at all. I'm pretty open about that. But like this date leaked back at Summer Game Fest, and I was like, okay, well they're obviously. Then we had the direct. I'm like, okay, obviously they're gonna like at least delay it to like November or something. Get away from it. Like, because like we were talking before the show, Gables. It's like it's rough right now because like we have like all these like double A games and like indie games coming out and. They're barely getting reviews or barely getting talked about, barely acknowledged. And it's like, problem is like, you have Mortals of Avium coming out last week. You had Bomb Rush Cyberpunk come out last week, but
Yes.
then also Armored Core came out. It's like, well, what the fuck's everybody gonna talk about? These
Armored
games
Core.
come out, but like when they come out, the reviews drop for Armored Core. So everybody cares more about the reviews and that game coming out. Like, the same thing is going to happen here. Like, Forza and Assassin's Creed just came out, you know, a week before this. Then literally the day this comes out, you're probably going to have reviews for Spider-Man and Mario Wonder the same, probably the same day or around the same time. So those games can get covered up. I mean, I know it's bigger than just our world. You know, it's like for, you know, the actual, like, larger audience are just going to go to the store and they're going to see a Sonic game on the shelf. Oh, cool. And buy it. And that's probably what, like, this game is going to sell, I'm sure, fairly well. But fuck, man. It's like if you go to the store on Friday, do your grocery shopping, you're at Walmart or Target or whatever, and you see a new Mario game or you see a new Sonic game, most people are going to buy the Mario game. So, yeah, I don't know. Like, it doesn't seem that hard, Gables. Like, we're not business people, but I'm like, man, if I'm in that boardroom, I'm like, why are we doing this again? anyways, Sonic Frontiers is getting a new story update. I think it's the last one. You get a new playable character. Kind of spoils the end of the game if people care about it. I won't spoil it for people. That do care is called The Final Horizon, and it comes out September 28th. So if you're interested in that one, it's out then. Next up here, The First Descendant. It's a third-person looter shooter. The game looks gorgeous. I believe it's a South Korea team that's making it. It is a very much looks like a Destiny-esque style, like looter shooter. Looks gorgeous. I love like kind of the gameplay style. Like you have like a almost like a hook shot, like the kind of platform around on. So it's a little more fast paced. Shooting, obviously, it's a looter shooter. Looks great. Beautiful. Someone said that they should have called it a booty shooty, and I agree, Gables, because everybody in this game has got to ask for fucking days. And honestly, I think they're on to something, because exactly what it is. But I thought it looked kind of cool, but I don't know. Like, it's not something I'm probably ever going to play, but I thought it looked like it could be a cool little game. I don't know. Did you see that one, Gables?
Okay, which game was this again?
First Ascendant.
Yeah, dude, I didn't see anything in regards to it.
All right. Under the Waves coming out. This is coming out on 29th as well. God damn it. I want to play this game. It's being published by Quantic Dreams. This is the one that's like you're underwater, like, you know, you're exploring underwater, and some weird shit goes down, and so like a mystery, and it looks like a cool little game that I want to play, and it's yeah, probably not gonna play it now because it comes out August 29th. And I got too much other shit that's out now that I want to play, and shit coming soon that I want to play. So, but yeah, but the game looks like a Tyler game, unfortunately. Fort Solace, we got a little thing. Troy Baker, Roger Clark, and Julia Brown came out on stage to talk about this game. The game was actually out on Tuesday as well. And kind of the most funny thing about this was like people like saying like shocked the game was out, and then also why there were no reviews out, or like why were there no review codes given out. And then people look at reviews, and it's like it's a 63 in Open Critic, so that's probably why there's no reviews. But there was someone trying to make a joke about Troy Baker's butthole that just bombed, and it was a very awkward series of events. And it's better off for nobody to see that ever again. Or let's not talk about it anymore, because I don't want to spend more time talking about Troy Baker's butthole than I ever thought I wanted to. So moving on here, though, MudRunner, a new one of those is coming out next year. So if you are like people like SnowRunner and MudRunners, there it is. It's coming. Excited for you people. I know there's a big audience behind them, so I'm not even being sarcastic. I'm excited for you guys because I heard those people love those games. Next up here, though, Crew Motorfest is coming out September 15th or 14th, I believe. And there is actually going to be like an open, like you can play the game for like 4 days, I believe. I don't know how you can play the game, but like you can basically play the full game, almost like kind of like EA Play where you get like 10 hours of the game or whatever for free. I'm assuming that's what it is. But the games are like supposed to be very good. It's like Ubisoft's version of Forza, Forza Horizon rather. And everybody I've heard play the game like say positive things about it, but it just comes out in September. So it's mid-September. It's like right after Starfield and right before Mortal Kombat and stuff. So, and then, you know, it's smart to get out like a month before Forza, I guess, but I don't know. The game looks really good. It's in Hawaii. I kind of like that setting. Looks like cool. I don't know, I might check it out with that free trial thing they're talking about. But yeah. Next video, we got Cyberpunk 2077 Phantom Liberty. We got some gameplay on that one. They kind of really pushed the Cyberpunk as going like 2.0 update. For the this is only for current gen and PC players though. Kind of like redoing the whole like upgrading system and stuff like that, and the gameplay, like make a lot of changes to the gameplay. But we didn't really get a lot of updates, like a lot of gameplay on like what's actually the DLC is going to be. The 2.0 stuff, I believe, is free. Yeah, it's free, but the, you know, you don't have to buy the expansion to get that. But I don't know. This comes September 26th. Any chance, Gables, you're going to jump into Cyberpunk based off of this, though?
To be perfectly honest with you, I've actually kind of had some interest in wanting to return to the game, because at this point, you know, it's like they've already worked out a lot of patches and worked out a lot of things to the extent to where this DLC may actually convince me to want to play through the entirety of it.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure they're probably banking on it too. As a lot of people, you know, that 2.0, it's a smart way to get a lot of people back and kind of reorganize the game. So I'm excited to see what people say, because you know, I went back to it about a year and a half ago, and they did the next gen update and played like 6-7 hours and kind of fell off. So Move on though. Here's some other stuff here. There's a lot of like commercial stuff here we're gonna skip through. we got Mortal Kombat 1. We got some more gameplay for that one. A lot of brutalities. Just continues to look amazing. It's another one of the things where it's like, I don't need to see anymore. They've been showing a lot of trailers, like really pushing this game hard, and like kind of showing like a lot. And it's like, I don't need to see anymore. Like, this game looks amazing. It just sounds awful because like the sound effects they make are like cringing. But yeah, I think the story so far looks pretty cool. Like, I don't need a great story out of this one. You know, I'm not asking for like a God of War Ragnarok level story here, or like Last of Us or Naughty Dog or anything like that, but I just need like
something fast.
Yeah, like I just need like a fun storyline, and like, you know, like the Mortal Kombat 11 storyline was, I thought, just they really jumped a shark there. And I'm glad like the requel they're doing here looks really cool. And like, you know, now you're kind of like Liu Kang and Raiden swapping places and stuff like that. Bring back a lot of the original characters and kind of get rid of like a lot of the new characters they introduced that just, no, they're not really that good. Or kind of whatever. So I'm excited to play this game. It's going to be definitely gonna be a day one buy for me. What about you, Gables?
To be perfectly honest with you, man, I mean, oh gosh, I think I'd be, as much as I love playing fighting games and stuff, and this does look pretty damn good and stuff, I'm probably going to be still playing Starfield at that point, so I'm probably not going to pick it up on day one, but I'll probably just wait for a sale for this thing to go on.
Yeah, that's smart, smart, smart. And then kind of start end it off here, we got a Alan Wake 2 trailer. We got some more gameplay of this game. I just kind of want to be on a media blackout for this game. I'm already sold. I bought this game. Basically, the second one up for pre-order, I bought it. I'm super pumped for this game. Really, the less I see of it, the better, because I want to just kind of go as blind as possible. But yeah, pumped for this game. Got delayed to October 27th. Totally fine. And yeah, I'll be there day one. Anything for you, Gables, on that one?
I would be more excited about it if I had played through the original Alan Wake.
You piece of shit.
But everything I've seen of Alan Wake 2, you know, it seems fairly interesting.
Well, we did just get the Alan Wake is the free game on PS Plus. So,
yes, that's very true. I could download and play that.
Yep, the remaster was. So, yeah, that's a great game. But let's move on, Gables. Some other news here. Gotta do a time code here. Sorry. We have some updates with BioWare here. So, not good news. Kind of sad here. We got 50 people were laid off this week. Which is about 20% of their staff. And what they said here was, this is a direct quote here. They did this, the shift towards becoming a more agile and more focused studio. Basically means we're going to do same amount of work with less people. So kind of what we're getting on this one. And, Jeff Grubb had some more details about kind of what's going on there. He's pretty much like been the man with like the leaks and updates on, EA, like he kind of broke the news about the Mass Effect remasters we had a couple years ago. He announced that the Dead Space game long before it was revealed. Same thing with the Black Panther and Iron Man games as well. So he's kind of been on the money with EA. And some of the stuff he talked about was that that's happening here is that Dragon Age Dreadwolf, like game that we've talked about. It's been they announced this and showed this game years ago, and they kind of kept like re-showing it. EA Plays, and it'll like come up at like Summer Game Fest, not Summer Game Fest, but like Game Awards, and like they keep talking about it, but there wouldn't be any gameplay or like there'd be like early tech stuff here, like not even like fully like image stuff. Years ago now at this point, and the game like was they were hoping to have this game out internally, and they never announced for September of this year, so next week basically. No, it's basically next month. Internally, that's what they're hoping for. Then they delayed it to March of next year. Then internally, they delayed it again to summer, and it's likely that it could get delayed to early 2025. And then this is before all these people were laid off, and in this time frame, before people got laid off, they had like a smaller team working on the pre-production of Mass Effect, and they've been pulling people off of that to help finish Dragon Age.
Man, what the hell is going on with this crew inside BioWare? I mean, holy shit. That's not good.
No.
Absolutely, it's not good at all. And also, it tells a lot of us that, that quality of the new Dragon Age game must not be all that fantastic if they have to go through and require more help in order to try to get this game at least in a comparable state before it eventually does a release.
Well, we do know there was issues because like it was more EA issues where EA was making them use their engine. I can't remember what it's called,
Frostbite engine,
which we know they had a lot of issues with. That was like a big part of the problems with like Mass Effect Andromeda. That's probably actually one of the main problem was the engine. Just the game wasn't done yet. They forced them to put it out the door. Same thing with Anthem. Same thing where they kind of forced them to put the game out when it wasn't done yet, but. Honestly, I can't blame them because probably I don't think Anthem was ever going to be good. And it's probably just get that game out instead of keep working on it. We've seen all the issues with Mass Effect, with Mass Effect Andromeda and stuff like that. But like with Dragon Age Dreadwolf, you know, like they were forcing me to use Frostbite and then they let them switch to Unreal Engine. So they kind of like basically restart the game at that point. But then they also were making them make another live action game or live service game rather. And then they eventually, EA let them basically just dropped all the like all their things they were requiring them to do, and are basically just finally letting BioWare be BioWare and make a BioWare game. So that's been like a lot of like this game's been in development forever, but this is like part of the reason why it's been developed for so long is it wasted probably multiple years at least just basically being forced to make a game like a Dragon Age game the EA way. And then they, in probably a lot of ways, they kind of like restart it and completely reorganize and redo the entire game probably multiple times because of that. So that's a big part of it here. I am nervous, you know, like, but I've been talking about this for, I mean, pretty much the entirety length of this podcast since we started doing this podcast over a decade ago, where we were just coming out Mass Effect 3 that same year. And it was like, I thought the game was great, except for the ending was pretty. I was never like, oh, it's awful, but I was just like, oh, okay. I was just kind of lukewarm, slightly disappointed on it. You know, like Dragon Age 2, that was like one of the first games that under EA came out. That game was just completely rush job. It could have been so much more, and it was very disappointing. Like the gameplay the game was fun to play, but it was a game where, like you just literally just reused a bunch of assets over and over again. Every dungeon was exactly the same. Mickey kept going to the same places over and over again. You look at Dragon Age Inquisition, which is weird because it's like it is probably one of the most polarizing big video games I can remember like playing, where it got Game of the Year from a lot of people, including Game Awards. And like a lot of people gave that game 10s and 9s, and there's like a lot of people that just didn't like the game at all. And I'm like some of that. Like I remember like being on this podcast years ago, and like it's like I put like 30 something hours into it. And I was like, man, I just don't like it that much. You know, I put 30 something hours into it. Part of me has like been kind of like lately been like, want to give it a shot again. And then we had Mass Effect Andromeda. It's been well known, the issues there. Anthem, we all know about that. You know, it's like they have not put out like Dragon Age Inquisition it did really well and it reviewed well, it sold well. But since then, I mean, you look at basically the last five games they put out. Messick 3, a lot of issues. They had like totally changed the ending because people were so disappointing for a lot of people. Dragon Age 2, Mass Effect Andromeda, Anthem, you know, all coming out, I guess, last four. And they've all been, you know, they've had issues of some sort. So hopefully this turns around, because I'm scared here of like the future of BioWare, like what happens here if this does not do well. You know, it's kind of like the same way we looked at like with the Battlefield, where, you know, like that, where is that studio at now? Like, what's the future of that studio? What's the future of Battlefield? Because, you know, they have high expectations for that thing, and we've seen what happens. But I don't know, like BioWare was in that weird situation when EA was like buying every, like all these like great studios people loved, buying them up, totally making them change their ways and like make their games the EA way. Then the games would go to shit because of that, and then they would close the studios down. So, and we know EA is trying to change that, and like BioWare was like right at the end of that era. And hopefully, I mean, it's just kind of, but it's like still stuck in that like era of like, you know, I don't know. Like, hopefully they can turn around, because
No, you're soaping.
Yeah, I don't know. It's concerning. But let's move on and give a little some other news this week. Charles Martinet has retired as the voice of Mario. There's been some like people like kind of like internet sleuthing, like when those that Mario Wonder trailer came out, and the WarioWare Move It, is that the game?
Yes.
Coming out, like they said that they sounded different, Wario and Mario, and it didn't sound that different. Like I barely noticed change, if I noticed anything at all. But a lot of people noticed it, and apparently he's not the voice actor in those games. Nintendo's said in a statement that you'll find out the who did them when the games come out in the credits. Which I thought was kind of interesting. Huh. But yeah, he officially retired. He's 67. He will be like the Mario ambassador. So he's going to be doing like, sounds like he's going to do like PAXs and Comic-Con and stuff like that going around. Kind of like what he's already been doing. So happy for him. I hope this was like something he actually wanted, you know. I'm not trying to like, you know, come like drudge up controversy here. But I hope it's what he wanted. And yeah, hey, good for him. What about you, Gables?
Well, honestly, I'm kind of sad to see him go more than retire, but at the same time, he's recorded so many lines and so much other, like, game audio and stuff for, like, literally, like, a hell of a ton of Mario games over the past 20 years. It's like, yeah, you know what? He does deserve to be retired, to just go forth and retire and just write off of the royalties and stuff of being, like, the Mario voice actor, the ambassador and stuff. But, yeah, it kind of caught me by surprise, but at the same time, I was kind of wondering when he was going to go forth and, like, hang it up and stuff, because I know there was, like, there were a few people that he was literally going to, thought that he was literally going to play that role and stuff until he passed, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like...
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm more happy for him to actually enjoy some retired life, you know? Just do what you feel like you want to do.
Yeah, so it seems like, you know, it's not like really retirement, because he's going to be doing a lot of traveling, it sounds like. So we'll have to wait and see. But I'm excited to see if like they're sticking with a person, like, or if they're going to like just do different people. But we'll have to wait and see. Next up here, though, Xbox Series X's are getting console wraps. Kind of interesting looking. Looks kind of weird. But like once you actually like sounds weird, like it's like these weird, like it just like literally wraps around your console. And it sounds kind of like, I don't want that on my console. But once you kind of see it, like what they, the way they show it, and there's been a couple like they've shown like videos and pictures you can look of it, of them putting on. It's like comes out in October, I think mid October for those Starfield one, you can buy for $50. It's kind of like their answer to like the sides that you can get for your PS5, the plates.
Oh yeah, the shell.
Yeah. And the Starfield one is $50. That comes out in mid-October. There are two camo ones coming out the same day as Call of Duty. So actually pretty, really smart to do that. And they're $45. But I don't think it looks kind of cool. Like I've talked about like before with the PS5 plates and like they kind of end up doing with the Spider-Man ones. But it's like I just want, I instead of making just like, this is their answer to like, instead of like making people like, hey, you have to buy another console to get like that edition of like, you know, instead of getting the Starfield edition or the Halo edition, like, I kind of hope they do one for Gears, because I would definitely buy a Gears one. But I thought, look at the Starfield one, looks pretty cool. I don't know. It's kind of a smart idea to do this kind of stuff and kind of bring back those Xbox 360 faceplates all over again. What is old is new again. Gibbles, you think you might actually end up buying? You bought the PS5 ones. See yourself buying one of these?
Yes, dude. I do kind of like the idea of the whole console wrap stuff. I mean, it makes a hell of a lot of sense and stuff for the Series X because of you don't really have too many options in terms of like switching things off of the device itself because you have, you know, with the PS5, you know, the sliding of the face plates and like the side plates and everything and try to readjust or mix and match. But I like the idea that these console wraps, they're affordable, like individual themes and stuff. I don't like the camo ones because both of them don't look as good to me as opposed to the Starfield one. The Starfield is so subtle, but at the same time, it looks like it is a good pickup. So I may end up doing just that because I am so interested in not just decorating, but like accessorizing that Series X that I have and stuff. But yeah, I always love doing customization stuff.
Yeah. I don't know if I'm on the Starfield one, but yeah, like I would be down for like I said, a Gears one or something like that. Like, I can't wait to see what else they do with them. So to wait and see. Next up here, the Persona 3 Reload out February 2nd. This is coming to Game Pass as well, day one. Gales, how hyped, out of 10, how hyped are you for this one?
I'm actually at a 8.5 out of this stuff because I'm kind of excited to go forth and try it on Game Pass because it's a complete remaster. I don't have to really pay too much money. I mean, a remake, yeah. Yeah, I'm actually just excited just to play it on Game Pass and see how this game compares to the original.
yeah. So, exciting news for that one. Stalker 2 was officially delayed to 2024. That was one that a storefront put it out like December 1st as a date. So people were like, so obviously that created some buzz and movies coming out. That was the date. Ended up not being the case, but I talk about like their Ukraine based studio. They had no power for months on end. People were working in different studios that are owned by the same publisher, all over Europe. So definitely one of those things where people need to take more time in their game. It's them. So next up here though, Jusant got a release date October 31st. That is the Don't Nod game, the climbing game that's coming to Game Pass as well. Day one. That game looks awesome. Looks gorgeous. I'm a Don't Nod fanboy. So take that for what you will. But yeah, we got a date for that one. Replaced was also officially delayed. That was another to next year. That is also another Ukraine-based studio. So that's coming out next year. Now it's also another day one. That's four games in a row that were day one Game Pass games. Didn't realize that when I did that. Next up here, though, speaking of Xbox, Baldur's Gate 3 is going to make it to Xbox this year now. After all, they have issues because it's coming to December 6th to PS5. But big reason why is because they have split-screen co-op. And on the Series S, they're having issues with split-screen co-op working. So that's why it wasn't coming until next year on Xbox. Phil Spencer and the head of Lorien, I believe is the name of the studio, that makes Baldur's Gate 3, had a meeting during Gamescom and worked it out that it will be coming to Xbox this year, not on September 6th, but sometime this year. And the Baldur's Gate 3 will have co-op on the Series X, but not on split-screen co-op, rather, on the Series X, but not on Series S. So it did reach a compromise. I feel like this is one of those things that's not a big deal. Like, it sucks that, like, it's not a trend I want them to start doing, per se, with, you know, they always push parity. But I think there was, like, a thing that came out, like, a couple of years ago where it's, like, 3% of Xbox users use, like, split screen co-op, so this is going to affect percent, and it's probably going to be even a smaller percent of people that even buy this game on Xbox. So I feel like it's not going to affect many people. I mean, like, it sucks for people that, you know, I was a Series owner and a Series S owner until I just got the X last week. So I get people that, you know, that are looking forward to that option, but I don't know. I think it's smart for Xbox. It's just like, this is one of the biggest games of the year. It's the highest reviewed game of all time. We need to get this fucking game on our goddamn console as soon as possible. So, I don't know. What about you, Gibbles?
Yeah, you know what? You know, it's like... Oh, I'm sorry, Tyler. Could you repeat the name of the game
again? Baldur's Gate 3.
Baldur's Gate 3. Thank you. Yep. For God's sake. You gotta bear with me, folks. It's like, Oh man, I'm just trying to just drifting in and out right at the moment in time. It's just that type of like tiredness and stuff where it just affects you a little bit. But the Baldur's Gate 3 and stuff, that whole like co-op like controversy stuff with split screen and stuff and like doing it with based upon the console stuff. Yeah, you know, it sucks though that they're doing options now, they're just limiting like the Series S version and the Series X and stuff, only having certain features on the more expensive console and stuff. I mean, that sucks in and of itself, especially if it could technically do it on the other device itself. But yeah, you're right when you said that it's only going to affect maybe like a small percentage of people that were going to do that anyway. A lot of the times they're going to go and have online parties anyway
Yeah.
in regards to playing with different people and all that other stuff. But even so, you know, it's they're either going to be people who are going to be picking up Baldur's Gate 3 are already probably playing it on Steam or maybe playing it on the PS5. So even if there was an issue for people, like say on the Xbox systems and stuff, more than likely it's not going to be as emphasized as compared to like say them playing on other different systems and stuff, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I do understand that. Why that could be an inconvenience to some, but at the same time, though, I really think it's just not too big of a deal
Yeah.
for this case scenario.
Yeah, I get it. It's an easy headline to create some outrage for if you're somebody out there, but yeah, I feel like it's for the greater cause to overall do this, but it's definitely, like I said, it's not a trend I want to see start, and then they'll
Right.
start making compromises all over the place. And I don't think they will, but I get why they did this one. But next up here, though, Sega and Atlus are doing a broadcast for Tokyo Game Show on September 21st at 3 a.m. Pacific time. So,
Oh,
well,
God,
it's in
no.
Tokyo, so you gotta keep that in mind. So,
3 a.m. in the morning.
yeah, I don't know. They do have a lot to show off. There's that Hyena game. They have Sonic Superstars that we talked about. They have two Persona games they've talked about already coming out. They got the Persona 5 Tactica in November. They have
Yes.
Persona 3 Reload. There's the other pers the Persona team that they're what's that other game they announced at Xbox? It's in June that they're making. It's the next game that's not Persona.
Oh my Lord. I know what you're talking about. I've forgotten the name of the damn game already because it's not really in the front forward of my mind right now, but I do
Metaphor
understand what.
Refentanzio.
Yeah, that's part of the reason why I don't remember it because the name is not as memorable.
No.
But yeah, they're going to show more gameplay of that, you know.
Yeah.
I'm down. Seems like a pretty looking game stuff. It definitely is more kind of a theme of like a Shin Megami Tensei sort of game,
Yeah.
but yeah.
Yep. So they've left the show off there. I'm sure that's probably what's gonna be announced, but yeah, it's first like big domino to fall there for Tokyo Game Show, so hopefully there's more. Next up here, Days Gone movie is officially in production. It's very early production, but that's happening. So we've seen PlayStation's put everything else. There's a Horizon TV show still to come, a God of War show still to come. They said the Gran Turismo movie come out this week or last week. So basically anything and everything is out there. That we just talked about those rumors of the Jack and Dexter animated movie coming. So
Right.
not shocked that that's happening. Then last but not least here, Activision and Blizzard and Microsoft came to a deal for the CMA in the UK to put basically give the licensing rights to Ubisoft for the streaming service for the cloud gaming of their games. So that's kind of their workaround for them. So like the games will still be available on like Game Pass, stuff like that. You can still play them on on everything. The only difference, like, it's not gonna affect the customers at all. The only thing it's gonna change is it's gonna be on Ubisoft Plus as well. So yeah, but I don't know. I don't feel like this is like it's kind of a funny headline, but I don't think it's gonna be it's whatever. It's just them coming to agreement. Find a way to come into agreement with the CMA. We haven't heard they haven't said for sure if like it's a yes or a no, but I feel like at this point like they CMA blocked it because of cloud gaming concerns. And I don't know. I feel like if there truly was cloud gaming concerns, I don't know. This seems like a pretty good argument here. Like, hey, this is like, look at, hey, we'll put it on Ubisoft. They own the rights to it for the next 15 years. We're paying them to give us those games in our services now. So yeah. I don't know anything on that one, Gables.
Nah, not too much, if I'm afraid.
Okay. Well, Gables, let's move on to what we've been playing. Gables, you want to go first? You want me to go first?
Yeah, I'll go first this time, Steph, because I've only played like one game, pretty much. I've been playing more of the Pokemon trading card game. Been really getting into like the deck building mechanics stuff of it. I went through and decided to build another deck because I wanted to try to finish up the last bit of like the leaders and stuff before earning those legendary cards and stuff. So what I ended up doing was I worked on the electric and fighting style deck. I have mostly Electabuzz, and I have the Geodude like through Golem line and stuff as my main focus. So like three Geodudes, like two Graveler, one Golem, and the whole aspect of it is to try to be super fast by adding cards that will do a lot of draw power. So say like, so the card bill, like I got like four copies of, right? And it just draws two cards. Have like a computer search and stuff like that, where you just discard like a one various card to pick out any card in the deck. I basically shaped it more or less like my first deck. The only difference being is I've made it much more quick by adding like the search for energy cards, or like the search for a specific monster sort of card, or search for specific things, like say, like for trainer cards and stuff by discarding two cards. It's basically the whole aspect of being sort of the Yu-Gi-Oh equivalent of a mill deck, which what a mill deck is you find ways to make sure you draw out almost the entirety of your deck in order to get the cards that you want so you can finish the game like against your opponent as quickly as possible. It isn't like a first turn kill. It's not like a second turn or like a one turn kill or anything else like that. But there have been matches I've played with my water deck in specifics to where I've literally beaten like their Pokemon and like their bench Pokemon and stuff like that, and it's only didn't even last more like maybe a few minutes, where I've had literally like 5 or 10 minute matches against the NPCs and stuff in this game, to where we're going back and forth. They have about four or five bench Pokemon or something. I can't get past this one Pokemon because I'm not drawing the cards I need exactly at that time. So I'm quickly having to just rely upon top decking, like say, for example, I don't know, like top decking a Squirtle so I can get a base Pokemon on my bench so I can go through and evolve it into either a Wartortle or use a trainer card to evolve into Blastoise in certain aspects. But my progress is pretty good. I'm now like around 10 hours into it. I've already cleared most of the bases and stuff. So I got the badges for like fire, for like the science team one, for like poison. I've done like the fighting one, the rock one. I've won the electric one, the water one. I basically have all the other ones already done except for like grass. Yeah, it's grass at this point. But if I'm not able to go forth and deal with my electric like fighting deck or something like that, I'm actually thinking of just do straight up like fire deck and stuff just to take care of the grass stuff, because that would actually be pretty freaking awesome just to go forth and just have a Charizard style deck and just go and just finish off the rest of the game with it. But other than that, man, I mean, gaming things aside, I haven't been really playing too much because of the whole manager aspect of my workplace. But other than that, though, I'm glad I did decide to go through and play Pokemon Trading Card Game. I feel like I'm getting closer towards the end game of this game, but at the same time, I'm just feeling fairly good about it. But other than that, that's all I've been
All right,
playing.
very cool. Well, I've only been playing one game this week as well. I talked about already.
Yes.
I did pick up a copy of Immortals of Avium. I'm not gonna play it too much. I just got it, Thursday, and obviously, like, talk about being sick. I just have not been really in the gaming mood this weekend. So I did play. End up getting a chance. I played for like maybe like an hour yesterday. I played it for, I don't know, probably about 2.5 hours today. Kind of finally sat down. I'm like, I need to play this game. I just fucking bought it, and also I need to try to get much into this as much as I can before Starfield comes out. So I'm about, probably like 3 hours or so into it, give or take, and 3.5, 4 hours. I don't know, somewhere around there. And I'm on chapter 5 so far, and it's pretty good. It's fine. Like, I think it's gonna be exactly what I thought it would be. It's a, you know, it's a 7-ish out of 10. Second reviews are, I think it's like a 74 on Open Critic, and that seems about right. It's exactly what it is. I found a deal on it. I got it for like $35, and that was the only reason I bought it. And yeah, I'm having a good time with it. It is like, people know it's like a, like in this world where like a lot of people have magic. I don't know if everybody has magic. They throw so much lore and story at you. I don't know what the fuck's going on, honestly. You play as a kid named Jack, and like you like kind of like live in like under basically like, these like underground like towns, and but shit goes down. Your village gets attacked, and like you end up joining like this army, and like you're fighting in this army against the other guys. But you're like you know you find out you're actually like the chosen one or like a special person, like that a rare breed of people that like that there's like different types of magic that people can attain. Yeah. There's like three different kinds. Basically, there's like there's green, blue, and red is basically what they are, and they have different abilities. And but you're like a type that can also that can like have all three, and kind of you can like so it's almost kind of like a more like linear based like Ghostwire Tokyo, like where those like you had different type of magic abilities, but like one was really like a pistol, one was more like a machine gun, one's more like a shotgun. It's kind of the same idea here, where like red is more like you can actually change up. There's like different like kind of like loadouts, I guess, for lack of a better term. You can like change out like how much like what kind of like what they are, and they also have like you can upgrade them, you can craft them. There's different arm bracers you can wear, shit like that. There's different abilities you can add on to them, or you can upgrade your stats, stuff like that. Like the blue was more kind of like more like a pistol type of situation where you gotta keep hitting it. The green one is like a machine gun. You can just hold it down and it shoots, and also like it doesn't do as much damage, but like it also like automatically like it will just hit people as long as you like shoot somewhere close to them. It will like kind of like lock onto them and hit them. And then you have the red, which is more like the shotgun. And then you have different abilities for them. Like one of the abilities I unlocked is like it does kind of like you do like a kind of like almost like a ground slam. Like all these like rocks come out of the ground. And because there's like a big trail in front of you, and that's good for like break. Some enemies have shields, and you can like break their shields really easily with that. I have another one that's like that makes like almost like a lava come out of the ground kind of thing. So certain enemies like certain things like the shield can only be take damage, like can only be destroyed by like blue abilities, stuff like that. But story is like whatever. Like it, I'm not asking for like a world class story here. I just need something irritating enough to get me through the moments of the shooting, and the story's whatever. Like I said, I don't really understand what the fuck's going on for the most part. I get the gist of it, but like they really do throw like a lot of lore at you at the beginning, and they just talk to you like they're talking to your character like you know the world because obviously like they grew up in the world, but like they don't do a good job, I feel like, of explaining to you, the person playing this game. Like I just jumped in this game 30 minutes ago. And I have no fucking clue what's going on. Can someone please explain to me what's happening? And like they just have conversations. Like I just jumped in like on chapter 8 of this game, and it's like, this is chapter. I'm like, wait, no, this is chapter 1, right? And like, yeah, I know it is. Like, what the fuck's going on here? So it's a lot of that. I have no idea what's going on, but it's like whatever. I don't need to understand exactly. Like I know, like there's a war going on between two factions. The bad guy is trying to like do something bad. I'm a good guy. Basically like I'm the chosen one. I'm gotta be the guy who stops this kind of stuff. And it is what it is. It's that class story, but like, it's fine. Right. I like the game is gorgeous. It is definitely, I talk about like, you know, I've been kind of suckered in. There's like some of these like beautiful looking games that do like they just like do really cool particle effects like Ghostwire Tokyo. Like, I thought visually that game was beautiful. And the game was good. It was like, I talk about it is the most mediocre game I've ever played in my entire life. And I don't mean that in like a super insulting way. Like the game is actually pretty good. It's a fun time. Like I put a solid like 15 hours into it. And this is kind of more of that. Like, but it's more like the director on this game was like a former lead for Call of Duty. Call of Duty for a long time. And like he has a lot of former like Telltale people helping work on this game. So that kind of made me excited. But I don't really know where. These people they hired like the last like 2 weeks of the studio before it closed. I don't know.
Right.
I don't know. The game's fine. I do like kind of like The best parts of this game was like when you're actually in the missions, and like, you know, it's kind of like you're going down a hallway. You know, it's the Call of Duty thing where it's like, I like the enemies you're fighting. I'm having fun with the combat. The parts I don't like is the in between stuff so much because like you're kind of in areas like, where like it's kind of got like the Metroidvania style where like there's like a thing here that you can't do yet. So okay, I'm gonna come back here when I get new abilities, stuff like that. And like it does a pretty decent job of telling you, it's like your character will be like, oh, I can't. This must be something I can't do right now. I always appreciate when games do that. That way I'm not spending 15, 20 minutes trying to figure out what the fuck to do, and I just can't do it. But like there's a lot of stuff like you're just wandering around these like not open world, but like open environments, and there's like chests you can find. There's like that have like gold in it or have like you can get like green, red, and blue. I can't remember what they're called, but like you basically get like essence is what they're called. You got green, red, blue, and that's what you use to like upgrade your abilities. And then you have gold that you can use to buy things to get better equipment or stuff like that. And there's like little puzzles you can solve throughout the environments as well. You can find more upgrades, and there's like little challenges, things you can do to, like upgrade your mana and your
Right.
health, stuff like that. It's a generic fucking shooter game, like, but it's really nice to look at. I'm playing on
So
my
it sounds
bottom.
like Salt 6 or something.
I was when you were gone, I said it's a 74 Open Critic, and that's so far like 4 hours in, give or take. That's probably like where I'm thinking this game will end up as, like totally
I see.
fine, like not a good game, not a bad game. Like I would say, like I don't know how long this game is. I hope it's not like 15 fucking hours, 'cause if it's like 10, it sounds perfect to me. Yeah, like I don't know, if you find this game down the line for like $30, $20, it's probably, so far, like I'm gonna keep playing. I'll talk about probably talk about more next week. Yeah, I'd say give it a shot. You know, like if you're this looks like something you might like. It'll probably be on EA Play in like 4 months, actually. So if you have Game Pass or just EA Play for a month, play it on there. Because like this is like a, this cause it looks like a, this seems like it's gonna be a fun like weekend game. Like, or, you know, like I have a couple days off. I want to play some games. This is that. So turn your brain off, just have a good time, pass time type of game. So yeah, so far so good though. Like I said, I'm only a few hours in. I'm gonna keep playing it, but I'm liking it so far. So, I think Gables, that'll do it for us this week. Thank you guys so much for watching and listening wherever you are, wherever you're watching us at, listening to us at. Please, like I said at the top of the show, like, follow, subscribe. Look in the description down below. You can click on all the links, all of our Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, Apple, Spotify, whatever service you're on for podcasts, just search for us on there. Drunk Dash Nerds, Drunk Nerds, you'll find us. Like I said, even if you and like if you're just someone that just you have YouTube and you can just please hit the subscribe button. I don't even care if you like click the little bell where you turn off notifications of us being on there. Just subscribe and then just turn us off. You know, see us again. That's fine. I don't care. Just do it. You know, just give us the numbers. We're trying to get to 1,000 here, so we can make $12 a year doing podcasts on YouTube. But thank you guys so much for watching, listening. I was your host. I was Tyler.
I've been Colonel Gable. So until next time, everyone, play games that you like, enjoy life as it is, and Tyler, follow the buzzards.
Terry Funk forever.
Yes.
Bye, guys.
See ya.